Good morning. I'm honored to get to preach to you guys today. Joe is over at Huntington Beach. Pastor Ed has felt the Lord is calling him on his journey. He got a job out in Apple Valley as a senior pastor out there, and we are so happy for him. We pray God's highest and best over that ministry. Pastor Ed will always be one of us. Pastor Rudy, his associate over there, is going to be the new pastor, and we're really excited about this new season. So I get to sit in the pulpit today. Yay. So, and I just want to share, I shared with the first service, I want to share a little bit because, you know, I think it's relevant. But I had a lot of warfare over this message this week. My wife and I don't fight anymore. We had a knockdown drag out. That's not too out of the ordinary, I would say. But, you know, this morning I got up at 4 and I couldn't sleep. And I was praying for you and praying for me. And then my back seized. So if you see me go, it's because my back seizing while I'm preaching. But, and that's not even out of the ordinary, right? Because I served trestles Saturday. So that's probably, you know, all that stuff could line up. But Friday, I was on my way home from work and my wife's like, oh my gosh, Chris, you got to get home. The house cleaner let our 17-year-old puggle out, Penny, and she's wandering the streets. You need to go find her. I'm like, oh no. So I get into my neighborhood. I'm driving around and I stop and I'm walking to the park and I'm walking to the, going to walk through the park. And all of a sudden I hear these dogs and there's seven German shepherds come around the corner. And I'm like, hi guys, right? Cause they're, I mean, it's seven dogs, but they're off leash. So they must be friendly. Hi guys. Wham, wham, wham. They start biting me everywhere. And I mean, like, I'm going to urgent care after service today to get antibiotics. Cause I don't know these dogs. I don't know if they had shot. I mean, I'm all, dude, you know, your dogs are attacking me, you know? And the dude spun out and he's like, dude, what do you expect? I have seven dogs off a leash. And I'm like, this is demonic. That dude, okay. All right, bro. You know, I cussed him out. I said, please get out of my neighborhood, in other words. But Pastor Chris doesn't have to apologize for anything. Praise God. Anyway, I said all that to say this. I'm going to lay out a question before you today. And the question is not, can you lose your salvation? Because you can't. When you're the Lord's, when you say, yes, Jesus, come into my life and change me. I'm not God, you are. He seals you with his Holy. He gives you his Holy Spirit and he seals you. You did nothing to earn it. You can't earn your way out of it. What's done is done. You're his. The question that's on the table today is, are you really born again? And so I lay out this question before you, but I want you to know that none of this is going to be condemning. Not for me, because look, I'm a satanic, idol-worshipping, pagan scumbag saved by the blood of Jesus. Okay? I got no stones to throw at you, at your sin, all right? But I am a minister of the gospel. I have an obligation to come up here and preach the truth to you, and that's what I'm going to do today. So, I'm in chapter 8, and I really thought Joe was going to get to preach on the parable of the sower, but he hasn't gotten to do that yet. So before we get started, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your presence that's here. Holy Spirit, I ask you to make me a teacher and a preacher. I ask you to make me a clear communicator. And God, I ask you to give all your church ears to hear today. May we hear your true heart. And may we be brave enough, God, to hear the truth and receive it and do something about it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, we're in chapter 8, and Jesus is teaching through the cities and villages. He's proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples are with him. And along with them also were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, Herod's household manager was with them, and some others. So as Jesus was preaching and teaching, you know, as Jesus taught, he's this revolutionary preacher. He's not preaching the same thing that the Pharisees, these religious Jews, are preaching. Hey, we got it together and you don't. We know the word of God and you don't. We're chosen and you're not. Jesus is like, all who believe to me will be saved. Everyone who believes on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's coming and he's presenting salvation. It's a whole different way. You don't have to rely on a priest. You don't have to rely on some religious guy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's coming and preaching this renegade message. And it's drawing people out of the city. Who is this guy? And he's healing everybody. He's the real deal. So once everybody starts coming out, Jesus gives them the parable of the sower. And I'm going to go through this quickly. The seed that the sower sows into the ground represents the word of God. The ground represents the human heart. Some seed was trampled on the path. That means they heard the word. They heard the word of God. Then the devil stole the seed that was planted so that they may not believe and be saved. He literally stole that. Some fell on rocky ground, meaning they received the word of God with joy but have no root. So when testing comes, when trials comes, they fall away. Some was choked out by the thorns because the thorns grew up with them. Those that hear the word of God, but as they go about their life, they're choked out by the cares of this world, the riches of this world, and the pleasures of this world. Their fruit does not mature. They heard the word, but they're stunted. Finally, some fell on good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Those who hear the word of God hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Where's your heart this morning? Your heart lays in one of those grounds. And I want you to consider that as you consider that question. Because you're going to wrestle with this question today. Am I born again? Am I really a born again follower of Christ? So this is where we're going to camp today. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. And I want you to know something, that right after Jesus gave this powerful parable about salvation and our hearts and the word of God and the potential of it, he says this. He says, "For he who has ears to hear, let him hear." And see, what that does is it ties together the very next thing that he's going to say. So what he's saying is, not only should you listen to what I just said, but what I'm about to say as well. For he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to you today. Verse 16 says this in Luke, St. Luke. "No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to the light. Take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." So, before we dig into this, and we're gonna, I think the practical application is pretty obvious here. No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed. Like, that's obvious, right? If it's dark in this room and we want it illuminated, if we want it lit, then why would I light something and put it and cover it? Why would you open up the closet, turn on the light, and close the door? That doesn't make sense. That light is doing nothing. So I get the practical application. But before we explore that, let's first look at the light giver. Let's look at the one true light, because then it'll make this scripture really mean more. St. John, I think, he's one of my favorite apostles, and his gospel is probably my favorite. The way he begins this about our King is amazing. I want to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 to tell you about the true light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Listen to this. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That is the lamp lighter. This is the chief light. He is God. This is King Jesus, the true light. So we dig deeper, right? So this is what I love about scriptures. You can even, that's deep. That even makes that the Luke scripture even deeper. But let's go deeper in verse 9. The Greek word, because the New Testament was written in Greek, the Greek word for true light, which gives light, is photizo. It means enlightened or illuminated. So that, see, now the illuminator who illuminates everyone to the things of God has come into the world. You see, Jesus didn't just come to be a sacrifice for our sins to give us eternal life, even though that was his mission. That was the main reason why he was here. But why he was here, he illuminated his people to the real heart of God, because none of us knew. The Jews weren't telling us how it really was. They weren't telling us about the real heart of God at that time. It was all of, they had tainted it. It was all about men, because that's what we do, because our meat sacks are corrupt. Yeah, we're going to get to that. I jumped ahead a little bit. So, now we've established who the light is and what the light means. To be illuminated by the things of God. To be illuminated, to be enlightened by the mysteries of the Almighty. That's who Jesus is. He illuminates you and I. It's His Word. He is the Word. It says He is the Word. The Word illuminates me to the Word, to God, to God's heart. I am enlightened to the truth. Because see, I was born dead in my trespasses, just like you. I was born a God hater. Because when I was born, sin took over my body, my meat sack, my flesh literally loves filth and lies and the dark. It is the light of the world that illuminates the darkness. It is the light of the world that illuminates the things of God that begins to turn the light on. It takes one who is dead into life. He was dead and now he's alive. Why? Because Christ breathed life into the believer. Jesus Christ is the one true God, not just our Savior, but he's the illuminator of the Father's heart. Jesus said this in Matthew 11. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. That's us. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And listen, anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him to. You think you're here on your own? No. God chose you to be here. God chose you. You didn't choose him. Come to me, he says. Come to me who are all heavy laden. All who labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. I pray for some people up here that need rest. You will find your rest in Jesus Christ. You will find your rest in the Word of God. It's who you are. It's your wheelhouse. Goodness, purity, love, forgiveness. The problem is you and I have been drawn so far away from the things of God that we think it's kind of weird or even impossible. Because nobody's ever taught you anything different. You know what I love about this church is that I can say I'm a satanic pagan idol worshiping scumbag saved by the blood of Jesus, and you guys get what I'm saying. Okay, I'm not calling you a scumbag, but I am, or I was. But you are recovering pagans. Okay? Yeah. I'm just going to call a spade a spade. You are pagans in recovery. Why? Why, Pastor Chris? Because I hear you guys. Hey, good luck. That's a pagan myth. Luck is a pagan myth. God is sovereign and he's in control, or good luck. Be blessed. You're blessed. I say good luck sometimes. I'm just saying. We bend that way. We bend that way. Things that we thought were okay, things that you still think are okay, aren't, church. And so I say yay for his place. Yay, it's a place where you can come as you are. And you are invited in. You are welcomed in. Yes, we know. We know. We know. But you're not going to stay here the same. We are real honest about our sin here. But we are committed to repentance too. We're not just going to stay in the world. You can't have Jesus and your life. You can't have Jesus and your life. See, a lot of people in the church, and unfortunately, there's a lot of preachers who preach this. But it's go ahead and hold on to your life and have Jesus, and you'll live your best life. You'll live your best life if you have your life with Christ. right? Have your life, you know, do you with Christ. That's false teaching. You can either have your life or you can live Christ's life. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ shepherds his people back to himself. Jesus is the Word in human flesh. Then we go to verse 16 of Luke. No one, and this is where we get to the practical application almost. I got one more thing to share with you. No one, after the lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Let's look, because this is a beautiful, another beautiful picture of salvation. Jesus was so wise when he would preach and teach. He would give a parable like this, and the practical application is there, but there is something so deep. So the Greek word for lighting here is hapto. And the Greek word for jar, covering it with a jar, is vessel or human being. So Jesus is literally, in Greek, saying, yeah, nobody's going to light a lamp and cover it with a jar. That's stupid. But he's also saying, why would the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that shakes mountains, he rises kingdoms and he smashes kingdoms. He does whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Saw you filthy in your sin, dead in your transgressions. And I don't know if you remember this, born again believer, but there was a time, you may not remember the very moment, but there was a time where you realized God had touched you. You know, I remember the very pages I used to rip out in prison and roll cigarettes with and joints with and smoke because they meant nothing to me. Now, like I lay my Bible on my heart. Do you remember that? Because if you don't, maybe you're not born again. I'm not saying you're not, and I'm not saying you are. I'm just laying out the truth. There should be fruit in your life. And if there's not, I pray that there's conviction in your heart that would draw you closer to Jesus. Why? Why would the God of the universe touch you with his Spirit, life-giving Spirit, touch you with the glory of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? He intimately touched you. Hapto means to intimately touch. He kissed you. When the glory of God came and met your disgusting, corroded flesh and your spirit and kissed you. And the veil fell. And now the word of God means something. And now I can see God. Oh, you are real and you are alive. And I can feel you. You did fill me with your Holy Spirit because I can feel you. And now those words that mean nothing to me, they mean everything to me. Or at least they mean something to me when I first got saved, because you really don't know God. Let's be real. But they ministered. The words ministered. I could tell. That's being born again, friends. And why, this is the thing, why would God want you to cover it? You know he's placed his glory inside you, right? And we said that the jar, the vessel that's covering the light, can also be defined as a human being. So I challenge you with this, church. Why isn't the glory of God beaming out of you constantly? I'll tell you why. It all goes back to the garden and Adam and Eve. They were walking with God. They were literally lights beaming. They were fully open to receive, fully open to give. There was no hiding. There was no blocking. There was no shame. There was no nothing. And then when they fell and they ate the fruit of sin, it was the sin that caused the shame. And what did they do? Immediately, they hid. They hid. Jesus is saying, why are you hiding my glory? It's your own sin that causes you to hide my glory. You keep going and eating from the darkness. You keep feeding your flesh. You keep professing your love for me and feeding your flesh and hiding from me. Why? I love you. I have so much better for you. If you would just set down your phone, turn off your TV, and get into my word. If you would just, I don't know, maybe pick one night a week to go to a Bible study and really study my word on your own and not just go to church on Sundays. Because that's good. I love it. Yes, right on. But I love you more than that. God wants to spend time with you all day, every day, and you can. Thank God you don't have to rely on Pastor Joe or Pastor Chris. Hey, can I talk to Jesus? That's what the Catholic Church wants you to think. Maybe I didn't need to take a swing at them. I'm sorry. I don't need to tear nobody down today. God did not place his glory in you. Died. He placed his glory in you so you would embrace him and you would begin to drag your sin into the light and go, God, you already know everything anyway. I hate this now. I hate it that I do this to you. I hate it that my body is bent towards filth. I hate it that when I look at women, God, that there's that. I hate it that I would even go there with such a beautiful creation. Somebody that you care so much about, I'm so sorry that I would even remotely think ill of anyone, period. This is a great description of repentance as well. Remember, it's our own lustful passions that draw us away from the light. Our flesh desires filth, lies, and darkness, just like Adam and Eve. But God wants you to know, one, you've already been forgiven. If you're the Lord Jesus's, if you are a child of God, you have been forgiven. Okay, that means you're not a slave to the sin that you keep going back to. You are not a slave to it. You've been set free by it. But you have to be illuminated by the word. Because for some reason, you still find value in it. For some reason, that's still a good idea. And you know what? From one recovering pagan to another, I get it. But if you do the word, which it says, turn from your sin and turn to me. All who are weary, tired and weary laden, put my yoke on. Take the yoke of sin off and put mine on. Spend your time instead of, oh man, I'm going to make it through that next Netflix series. How about I'd like to make it through James or John? Because if you spend as much time, this is another good one, guys. If you spend as much time, listen to me. The reason why the internet was made, that is literally the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can find anything you want about good or evil on this planet on the internet. Why? If you spend as much time in the word as you do eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your life will change. You will not look at the world like you look at it right now. You will not see things the way you see things. Why? Because the knowledge of good and evil is only the knowledge of man and the knowledge of sin and the knowledge of, and how bad are they? Okay, well, nobody's paying any consequences for it. So what? You know what? You use that time to figure out who you are, to be illuminated by the word. Oh my gosh, it doesn't matter who's the president. Oh my gosh, it doesn't matter whether I have much or little. I'm blessed. God's going to build his church. He's going to do something in me and the other believers that are around me. He's going to do something in us magnificent no matter what is going on in the belly of the beast. In fact, it makes him look even cooler when he does it in the belly of the beast with sinners like me and you. It brings him glory. You're supposed to cling to Jesus through the revelation of his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, through the good times and the bad. God will teach you how to have much. He'll teach you how to have much. Some of you don't know how to have much. In fact, when things aren't going good, your church attendance goes down. You don't read as much. You don't pray as much. Why? Because you got it going on, baby. You got stuff to do. Woo! I'm going on a fishing trip because fishing's more fun than church. I heard that one. Dude, I would love to come to church, but there's just more fun stuff to do on Sundays. I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it, pagan. I get it. That's a very pagan thing to say. It's a very pagan way to think. I believe you love Jesus, but you need some illumination. You don't know him or you'd be here. It's enjoyable to be in the house of God. There's fruit in your life. When you're born again, you want to be with other believers, by the way. Get him, Jesus. All right. Do people even know you're a Christian? That's a question you should ask yourself. Verse 17, Jesus warns us again. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. This is heavy. And you know, easily read over, easily. Yeah, but nothing's hidden. Okay, so everything comes and you know, it's all manifest. We get it. Really? So let's go to the last day. The very last day when every single human being that touched this rock is going to stand before a living God. Your family ain't going to be there. Your friends ain't going to be there. Your stuff ain't going to be there. It's going to be you and him. Naked before the one who sees all from the beginning to the end. From the end to the beginning. And all truth about Jesus Christ will be made manifest at that moment. There will be not one mouth on this planet, not one mouth in wherever this court is going to go down in the heavenlies, not one mouth will be able to move. Not one, there won't be one doubt. There will be no more speculation whether Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Every mouth will be shut in that moment because everything will be revealed about God's plan, the salvation of his people and the King of the human beings, Jesus Christ. And the new resurrected Jerusalem. All truth will be made manifest in that moment. And it says every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. But I want you to know something. I know it ain't because people out of reverence. It'll be because the glory is so heavy that every knee is literally slammed down to the ground. And all of us will be going, Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord! Because of the glory. Because of God's glory. It's amazing, his glory. Nobody will be able to say, hey, Lord, my body, my choice. I dare you to say that in that moment. And everything will come to the light. That's why Jesus is asking you to just drag your sin to the light now. It's all coming out later anyway. All that weird stuff you did on meth, yeah, it's going to be out in the open. How do I know? Right? Good old Pastor Chris. All your stuff that you did in the dark's coming to the light. Jesus is saying, be a child of the light. Be, I want you on display. I want you to drag all your sin into the light. I'm going to put you on display and you're going to go, oh, I'm struggling with sin, but I love Jesus and I need help. And then other believers that God's doing the same thing with. He's put them on a pedestal to shine and they're not perfect. Jesus was perfect. See, we don't have to be perfect. I'm going crazy. Okay. I'm just going to lay it right here. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to be repentant. Our walk is about repentance. That's what I love about this church. We do accept you for who you are. But I want this church to be, and I know Joe does and the other pastors here, we accept you for who you are, but we want this to be the kind of church that either you start hating your sin or you hate this church. We are scumbags saved by the blood of Jesus, but we're committed to holiness and purity and forgiveness and love and empathy. Things that are really hard for man to do on his own. Things that only can be done by the Spirit of God. You see, we're committed to walking this out with you. We never claim to be perfect, but we do. We do boast in our failures because it gives glory to the God of the universe. It gives glory to Him that a sinner like me, a guy that rolled joints out of Bible paper and wore a Team 666 shirt just so I could make you upset would actually be in love with the Word. Like, I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Him so much that, like, you could even, I'm not even ashamed to say it. You could say, you know, it's intimate. It's, there's no sexual stuff there because there's no sexual stuff in the Spirit. But it's that kind of love. I love Him like that. I love Him so much. I would. However, you know what I mean? Lord Jesus, whatever you want, I'm in. We got a couple minutes, right on. So, last verse. Verse 18. Take care then. This is Jesus talking to us. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. That's a blessing. That's an invitation. That's a hey. Stack some chips before you get to eternity. It's going to be worth it. The currency is humans. The currency is people. The currency is love. For those who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. And that is just the guy that's out there in the world who could care less about God. I mean, he's focused on his career. He's focused on getting the house and the car and the motorcycle. And, you know, all his ducks are in a row. In fact, when the first comes, no problem. I got rent. That guy without Christ is dead. He, even what he thinks he has, like he thinks he has it going on. That's why you can't think in the carnal, in the here and now, because you can't take it with you. I love it. Those of you that own a house, yay for you. Good job. But you know what? If you don't, so what? It's just stuff. It's just stuff. It's just stuff. It's just stuff. The really important things are the things of God. If you focus, what does it say? Seek first my kingdom and I'll add your life to you. Seek first my kingdom and I'll heal your marriage. Seek first my kingdom and I'll elevate you. Seek first my kingdom and I will deliver you from that, my child. I promise. But seek first my kingdom. So take care how you hear. What are you hearing? These, your eyes and your ears, are gateways. I don't know if you realize this or not, but that's how it gets in. Your ears and your eyes. What you're watching and what you're listening to are ministering to you. All the time, every day, you're being ministered to. Are you being ministered to by the talking heads on the TV? Are you being ministered to by social media and that? Are you being ministered to by preachers? Or the word? Like, there's, who are you hearing from? Because your life will tell you everything. Your level of peace, your level of faith, the way you walk and talk, the way you look at society and people and circumstances, that all matters on how much illumination you have of God's word. How much enlightenment you have of the mysteries of Christ and the truth about human beings and salvation and our destiny eternally and here now. It's all found in the word. Your purpose for right now and your eternal destination. God did not hide anything from us, nor will he hide anything from us. So take care how you hear. I want to read Ephesians 5 real quick before I close. This is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. He loved them. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who it is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because sometimes preachers do. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. People who disobey the word of God are enemies of God. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time, you were darkness. You weren't in the darkness. You were the darkness. You and me. We are the evil. We're not in the evil. We are. It's the light that drives out the darkness. You starting to get it? Picking up what I'm laying down? Therefore... Oh yeah, sorry. Do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness and the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead... expose them. Here it is. Here's a born again believer's map to walking with Christ. Repentance. Repentance. God is saying, Jesus is saying, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Quit going to the dark and feeding yourself. Rather than that, drag your sin into the light with you. God, I'm here. Okay. It's time for me to get honest with myself. You already know what's going on, but I'm being honest with you. I want to lay this down. I know you don't like this.
And begin to pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Lord, reveal to me in your word that what breaks your heart, because I want to please you. It's my heart to bless you. Not sin against your people or you. But expose your sin. Deal with it through repentance. Live in the light. Draw people to King Jesus through your messy sanctification. This is just the place for it. Sanctification is messy, and if you're really serious about it, people know about your stuff. Not everybody, but a few people you trust. But there are people who are accountable. You're accountable too, who know, who have read your mail. Are there people in your life like that, that you can be honest with and open with and pray with? Because if you don't have people like that in your life, you need to get them in your life. Please, she's one of us. We're messy, but we love Jesus. We're sinners, but we're committed to learning how to live holy, pure, good lives like Jesus. It's the revelation that the God of the universe loved you and me so much, and others, that he would put his glory in a woman. And that seed from her egg and the seed of the Holy Spirit grew the greatest human being of all time. Literally. The greatest human being that ever walked the earth. Why? Because he never sinned against anyone. He never took from you and I. He only gave of himself. He was the only version of a fully surrendered, selfless lover of people. And then he illuminated the Father's heart when he got old enough. And he began to minister for those 3 years. He enlightened us on what God really thought about us and who we really are and what the kingdom of God is really like. And that it's not as hard to get in as they made it seem. It's really easy. You just got to give up your life to get it. So I think that's enough for today. But I want to pray for you, and I want to leave you with this. You're right where you're supposed to be. There are people in this room that are like, yes, I'm born again. In fact, that message, Jonesy, that was, God, my feet are dug in. I am born again. And then there's people in here like, you know, I'm wrestling. You know, I love Jesus. I do. But I'm living in darkness. I still do that. This is a call. This is a call for you to come out. You know, it says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not saying you're going to hell, but you should be afraid to go to hell. I'm afraid to go to hell. I'm up here preaching, and it's not like I'm so afraid because I'm still worried. No, no, no. I believe my God. I believe his word. But I have a healthy fear, because if I ever decide that it's all about, look at Chris Jones preach. Hey, man, right? I'm a sinner. I'm a scumbag saved by the blood of Jesus. I must. What's my responsibility? Feed myself with the word. If I get the word of God into Jonesy, that old Jonesy stays dead. He's hogtied in the closet. Instead of the other way around, where the spirit man's hogtied in the closet, you hogtie that flesh guy in the closet. He'll get loose sometimes. He will get out of the closet sometimes and say stupid stuff and do stupid stuff. But then you just repent and hogtie that guy up again. Get back in the word. Get back into the glory of God. Get back into holiness. Get back. Because why? Because Jesus died to give you that space. He gave you space, Christian. Space to recover. Space to repent. Truly turn from your sin and turn to Him. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father God, and we have the prayer garden. You know, if God's touched you today, you know, if you're afraid of your salvation right now, I'll pray with you. I mean, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's your heart that's wrestling right now with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that saves you. It's your surrender to Him that has saved you today. If that's you, I'll pray with you. But as a church, I wanted to pray corporately today because I feel like we're drawing a line in the sand today for us. You know, we do admit we sin. We're sinners. We're a special church of messy people full of ex-cons and junkies and prostitutes and, you know, and just scumbags and good people, you know. But we are coming out of a different kind of darkness, say, than somebody who grew up in a Christian home and went to Christian high school, and they're still sinners. They still got darkness to get out of too. But ours is a little different, because when you taste, when you go that deep, that dark, it takes a minute for you to get shaken loose from that pagan thinking, from that deception that you were born and raised in. You are born again. And so you need to raise yourself up in the Lord, in the things of God, in the Word of God. So Father God, I thank you for your church. And as we go this week, Holy Spirit, I ask you to convict us of our sin. Lord, I ask you to make us brave, that we would be willing to call it out with you and drag it into the light with us. Sanctify us, O Lord. Cleanse us of the filthiness of the world and fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit. Father, I pray you would illuminate your word like never before to your church. I pray specially for His Place Church in Westminster, that these people would be illuminated and enlightened by the mysteries of God, by your truth, by the word of your salvation. I pray your highest and best over them this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.